The following podcast is presented by the Society of American Magicians.
I was doing a show for college, the president's dinner at a college. I asked them if it was okay to do something crazy, you know. And they said, yeah, sure, yeah, it'd be great. You know, an extra thing, yeah. So I did the bullet catch and they were all stunned. They didn't even know what to say. They didn't even know what to say to me. They were like, I have never seen anything like that in my life. And like, please tell me that was a trick.
Hi, I'm Bruce Calver, SAM president from 2008 to 2009. Welcome to the Backstage SAM podcast. Featured in our April 2016 issue of MUM Magazine is a story I wrote about Dorothy Dietrich, a woman whose backstory has more secrets than a magician's suitcase. During the four-hour interview, both she and her partner, Dick Brooks, told me an enormous amount of stories that could fit another volume of Tarbell. Lack of space prevented me from including a couple of stories that I wanted to include. With Dorothy and Dick's permission, we decided to use their recording from the interview and tell the stories themselves. When you think of the bullet catch, one name instantly comes to mind. Chung Ling Su. His name comes to mind not because of his amazing presentation of the stunt, although from the photos it looked spectacular. It comes to mind because he died on stage performing it. Ben Robinson's book talks about 11 others who met their fate doing the bullet catch. Many magicians perform the bullet catch in their shows. David Blaine performed it on one of his specials. Even Robert Houdin performed it in Algeria, along with his light and heavy chest. Milburn Christopher and Steve Cohen performed it on television and lived to tell the tale, although both were injured with shards of glass during the performance. Today, Penn and Teller do it nightly in their Vegas act, and fortunately, all has gone well. There is one more name associated with bullet catch, and this is an unusual one. As the first female to ever perform this terrifying stunt, and to this day, the only female to do so, she spoke to us about performing it. She did not want to go into too many details about the method or preparation, as she did not want to promote anyone ever trying this. As she says, it haunts her to this very day. My first question was, how does one learn how to do bullet catching?
That's a funny question. Well, tell me how you learned about bullet catching. Well, here's the thing. When I was studying Houdini, I had gotten to the point where I actually saw the letter that Harry Keller wrote to Houdini that said that he didn't want him to do it. And his words, now I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty accurate. Harry Keller told Houdini not to do the bullet catch. What happened was Chung Ling Su died in 1918 doing the bullet catch. And he got so much publicity that Houdini announced that he was going to do it. And so he started researching it and figured out, well, I probably could do this. And then he started thinking about it, and he told Harry Keller, and he said, no, you shouldn't do this thing. He said, some dog will job you. And so he begged him not to do it. And Houdini ended up deciding not to do it. So it kind of, I couldn't leave that go. I thought, you know, that's just, if there's ever anything that I must do, it's probably some version of that. And so I had no particular plans. I started researching the bullet catch and thought, wow, how many people died doing this? This is crazy. And I couldn't really figure out what, you know, like, how would I present this, and that why would a woman do this? And I thought, well, the only reason that why I would do it is because nobody else did it. And so I got an invitation from the International Brotherhood of Magicians to perform at their national convention. And I thought, wow, that's a great honor. And I wanted it to be, you know, I wanted my performance not to be just doing like a gal doing gal girly magic, you know. I thought, I want this to be memorable forever. I want the guys to know that I'm not just a girl that hopped in on their business, that I'm kind of, you know, one of the guys, so to speak.
She decides she's going to do the bullet catch. She's been studying it for a while.
I started studying it in the early 80s, you know, trying to figure it out. It was like actually even the late 70s I was trying to figure it out and practice with. I tried to figure out what's the most accurate rifle or gun to use. Everybody in that industry, the ballistics industry, suggested that a .22 rifle would be the most accurate, because if the rifle's not accurate and they miss, well, it's a different kind of history. You know, it's just another one of those that died trying to do this crazy thing. So I wanted to be remembered for something special. And no woman had caught a bullet in their mouth in the history of the world. And I thought, well, I've got to figure this out. So I talked to a lot of different people, and I did work with a gentleman in New York that was really, had understood it. He had, I guess he had worked with Milburn Christopher, and Milburn had done it. And so basically I decided to do it with a .22 single shot rifle. And Milburn said, you know what, you really shouldn't do this. He really tried to talk me out of it. He said, this thing will haunt you the rest of your life. It's the kind of thing that you will have nightmares. And sure enough, he was right about that.
Then she went on to explain what changes in your life.
Well, several things have happened since I did that. Well, the night before I did it at the convention.
She was at a performer's night before party.
So everybody was there and signing autographs, and I was there. They had a table for me. And so I was signing photographs, and everybody was like, wow, I can't believe you're going to be doing this thing. And talking, and I did that for about 40 minutes, and people were asking me to date the pictures. Could you put a date on it? Could you put a date on it? And some of the people actually even made comments like, well, geez, I hope you make it. You know, I hope you're successful. Like, you know, thinking maybe I'm not going to be successful. And I kind of got very disturbed by that, and I just had to go to my room, because I had already talked myself into the fact that I'm going to be doing this, and now all of a sudden I'm going, all right, there's a lot of people that are doubting that I'm going to survive this thing, so I just got to go. I got to go to my room.
She was going to get a lot of publicity for this.
So PM Magazine had contacted us. They wanted to do my story, and so I told them that I'd be doing this thing in Pittsburgh, so they asked if they could come and shoot it. So, of course, that would be ideal. So now I told the committee from the IBM that, listen, this is going to be recorded. Let's make this really spectacular. I told them what kinds of things that I felt I needed, and I asked them to buy the bullets, .22 caliber bullets, and these were challenge conditions that I presented to the committee, so that everybody knows that what I'm doing is all on the up and up. It wasn't like a stage trick, you know. It wasn't like very hokey and everything.
Dorothy went back to talking about the nightmares.
When I say nightmares, I've had people in my life come up to me and say, hey, I've got a gun. You want to catch my bullet? And just really creeps me out. I will sometimes wake up in the night hearing that, you know, that somebody's telling me that. And I wake up like, you know, and go, oh, there's nobody there. It was just a dream.
Dorothy then described the presentation.
A rifleman. Now, I had Dennis Shore from Pittsburgh. He was a military Green Beret. He was a sniper-qualified Green Beret. And so they found him in Pittsburgh. So I met with him and had him shoot at some targets, and he got 100 out of 100 shots. It was amazing. Like, he was really right on. So I felt very comfortable with him. And the night before, I sat with him and discussed the whole thing, that what we were going to be doing, and told him, and at any point that you want to back out of this, it's okay. You know, I don't want you to feel that you're pressured to do anything that you don't want to do. And he said, no, I'm good. And then after the event happened, he actually said, man, that was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. Because when he was in the service, he said, you're shooting at the enemy. He says, there I am, I'm shooting at this lady in front of me. And I, like, what if I mess up? And so it was very cool. He stood at, we had a very long stage set up with a, about 35-foot stage. And so he was 30 feet away from me. In between myself and the marksman is a stanchion that has a piece of glass, so that when you're watching it, there's no way to see the bullet go from the rifle into my mouth. So in order to visualize that, we had a pane of glass. So that is a very thin, thin piece of glass. That was the hardest thing to find, is glass that doesn't have a very specific grain. Because if the bullet is deflected, you can have a real problem and miss the target. And so that was something that we had to work out, and I felt very confident that I had known what the effects are going to be. And then the cool thing was, at Point State Park in Pittsburgh, there was a natural background for it, because they had like a utility building there, which was a very kind of a rustic stone building, and with a stone wall. So we were able to fire the first bullet into the wall, through the glass and into the wall, and you could actually see on YouTube, you can see where the bullet hit the wall. And then the next bullet is placed from the committee. The committee dumps the bullets into a glass bowl. They pick the bullet, they put it in the rifle, and the marksman, Dennis Shore, fires the bullet into a cup in my mouth. And I have several things. I have a letter from Milburn Christopher asking me not to do it. When he did it, he said he had gotten hit by glass, and it was troubling because he thought it was the bullet that was hitting him.
I asked Dorothy if she had any fear at all about performing this.
I'll tell you what, I had realized that it's something that I could die, and I thought, I'll be just as famous if I die as if I succeed. So it's like, you know, I've had a good life. What's the big deal? It was really something that I don't want anybody to think that I'm dumb. You know, I know I'm blonde, but I'm not stupid. I tried everything I could to make sure that there is as much safety involved as possible. And I don't have a death wish. I didn't want to be killed in front of a crowd of folks, that's for sure. So I really felt very confident that I knew what I was doing and that everything was going to be just fine. I will tell you that at the point when there is a pile of people around you and there's a rifle pointing at you, it is, it puts you somewhere else. You know, you say, okay, what are we doing? this is probably the dumbest thing I've ever done.
I asked her once she caught the bullet if it became an emotional thing.
Absolutely. Once the bullet hit my mouth, it was very emotional. I was very relieved, but instantly it was just like, you know, tears automatically come to your eyes. My mother was there, and I realized that was a really dumb idea to invite my mom to come see me perform, you know? Like, she should have not have been there. She could have had a heart attack that day. The camera actually caught her on film. She was crying, and it was pretty, pretty intense.
So how many times have you performed the bullet catch?
Officially, 3 times, unofficially, 4 times, because the first time that I did it, I wanted to do it, really do it, not practice. How you practice is you don't shoot it yourself. You shoot at targets and see what happens to the target, you know, and say, all right, is this possible?
Would Dorothy ever do it again?
Well, would I ever do it again? I don't have any reason to do it again, unless somebody had like a boat wad of money, like a big giant boat, like an ocean liner boat full of money, I could do it. But honestly, it doesn't make any sense. I've done it. Everybody knows I did it. If I were to do it again, it's really just, you know, pressing fate, I think.
If a magician called her and asked her for advice on doing the bullet catch,
I did have one person ask me how I felt about them doing the bullet catch, and I suggested to them that they need to come up with something else, only because they would just be another one that did it. It wouldn't be unique, and that's the toughest thing there is, to come up with something unique. I think it's kind of hard now because the gun laws are impossible. You know, I don't know how you would get a gun to a location and do it without being in trouble. Would I recommend it? It's pretty dangerous. I would suggest you try to find something else.
The performance of the bullet catch in Pittsburgh was delayed for a few minutes because the police saw someone on a roof. They wanted to be sure there wasn't another shooter taking part. By the way, Houdini, the magician who did the most dangerous stunts in the world, decided not to do this illusion.
Backstage SAM is hosted and edited by Bruce Calver. The show is recorded in the Top Hat Productions studio for the Society of American Magicians. I'm your announcer, Arlene Calver. Comments and ideas for future shows can be sent to Bruce@MagicSam.com. This podcast is copyright 2016 by the Society of American Magicians. Magic.